Good morning, everyone. I'm sad that I cannot be there with everyone this Sunday morning. I did my best to try to painfully roll out of bed and get ready, but you might hear little grunts here and there because I think I really did some good work to my back, and I must be getting older now because all I was doing was playing with the little ones and tossing them up in the air. And then, you know, there was a moment where I knew that I had done something. So thank you for keeping me in prayer. Please keep me in prayer for quick healing and recovery. Again, sad that I can't be there with you in person this morning, but what an awesome gift it is that we can still worship our God together, that we can hear his word being preached, that we can hear songs of praise being sung, and that we get to do that together as a church. We're going to continue on in the book of Acts together today. We remember that the last place that we left off, Paul and Barnabas, longtime missionary partners, friends, brothers in Christ, they've just parted ways over a disagreement whether to bring Mark along on their next mission trip to go back to where they had set up churches and many people had come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior to encourage them. They were arguing about whether to bring Mark along on that or not. And so they had a sharp disagreement. And Barnabas left with Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul brought along Silas and went through Syria and Cilicia. So the key takeaway from last week was just that the two had a disagreement and they parted ways. And yet, even in the midst of that disagreement, there was still unity. There was still purpose in the cause of sharing the love of God and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we learned and saw that God is still in control of all things, and that he, in a real way, though it was over the disagreement, now has two different groups going and sharing the love of God and preaching the gospel to two different locations. And so today we're going to pick up where the Apostle Paul is as he made his way to Syria and Cilicia. And we're going to see that he is now at Derbe and Lystra. And those towns should sound familiar to you, but we'll talk more about that later. And in all that Apostle Paul is doing, and all that the early church has been doing, one thing that they've been sure to do to make sure that they are checking their hearts and checking their actions and decisions that they make, including the one that they made at the Jerusalem Council, is that they are moving in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working through them, and he's working in them as well. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. Together. This is the word of God. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, God, that you love us so much that when you made the world and everything in it, you made it with a purpose, all of it to be in relationship with you. And we thank you, God, that as we have been learning about the early church, that your hand is so clear and so evident that even in the midst of disagreements, even in the midst of failures, even in the midst of hardships, God, that people continue to come to faith and salvation in Christ Jesus. So I pray that we will be strengthened as a church today through your word, that we will learn what it means to move in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our God, as I always preach, and I will always forever preach so long as I can, is the one true God, the God that we worship together on this Lord's Day. Our God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. It's a mystery, something that we cannot fully comprehend, but that is the reality of our God. We can't fathom nor understand everything of God, but in his awesome grace, he reveals to us who he is, even in simple ways, so that we can know his heart, his character, and what his purpose for us as humanity is in this world. In fact, the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is what gives to us the word. The very Bible that we study together right now is from God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And because it is from God himself, through the Holy Spirit, it is without error or contradiction. And it is this same Holy Spirit that we have seen at work in the early church. And so our God is opening up hearts in Israel, as well as opening up hearts in the Gentile nations that now Paul and Barnabas and now Silas, and we're going to see Timothy reaching out to, so that many people are coming to know Jesus, and that it's not through just faithful men, but the power of the Holy Spirit working through the faithful men who have placed their faith in Jesus. So God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us and strengthens us to do the things that we could not do on our own. We've seen the lame being made to walk. We've seen the blind being made to see. We've seen demons cast out in the name of Jesus. And we've seen hearts that were lost in the darkness now being changed and brought into the loving grace and light of Jesus Christ. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us, redirects us, and tunes us to the heart of God and to his will being done. At times, we may not know which way to go in life. There may be decisions ahead, things that we want to do, things that we strive to do, things that we plan to do. And then God, at times through the Holy Spirit, needs to redirect us. He needs to remind us that we're living for him and his purposes, and that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. And he promises that for every believer, he is present with us. God's very presence is with us. Yes, Jesus, we say, is with us, but God through the Holy Spirit, that's the promise that Jesus gave to those who would believe. And so as we think and talk today about what it means to move in the Spirit, I hope that we'll keep this in mind, that this is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but in his love and character, moving us, directing us, and guiding us. And so today we're going to look at just a couple of points. So when we are moving in the Spirit, one, God provides co-laborers for Christ. And two, there is obedience and sensitivity to God's leading. So let's go ahead and start with that first point. When we're moving in the Spirit, God provides co-laborers for Christ. So verse 1-2, we see Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So when we become believers of Jesus Christ, one of the beautiful things that God gives to us is not only the relationship that we have with him through Christ, not only the saving relationship we have with him, but he also gives us these wonderful relationships with the brothers and sisters in Christ, with those who also place their faith in him, who have the same purpose, who worship the same one and only true God. And so as we work for God, as we serve God in different ways, in church and in our lives, in our families, in our schools, wherever we go, that as we live to glorify God and serve him, God provides for us co-laborers, which ultimately means those who are going to come alongside us and work together for the same purpose, to strengthen and encourage one another in the Lord and in the purpose that we have in Jesus. Now we see Paul coming back to this Derbe and to Lystra. And we remember, again, these places sound familiar. Why is it? Because these are places that he has traveled to before in his first mission trip with Barnabas. And we know that his, you know, his efforts are not in vain, but we know that he experienced some very difficult times when he was there. In fact, he was brutally beaten. He was attacked, stoned. And what the people thought, he was stoned to death and they left him for dead. And yet here Paul returns to a place that probably has a lot of terrible memories for him, but he knows that there are believers there and that God had worked through his time with Barnabas there to bring many more people to Christ. And so here we are, right? Here he is. And in fact, there's one disciple that's mentioned here who will be significant in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, named Timothy. Now it says here in verse 2 that Timothy had a good reputation amongst the believers, which essentially means that he's someone who the believers look at and say, he is someone who's serving God and being faithful in the church. And so we see that God is providing a co-laborer with Paul or for Paul. Remember again that Paul and Barnabas have split ways, that Paul and Silas are now here. And so really, not that he's a replacement for Barnabas, but we're going to see that this relationship between the Apostle Paul and Timothy only grows stronger and stronger and stronger. This is a Spirit-led relationship that would grow and grow in God's love and play a role in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And so we know later on when Paul writes a letter in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul calls Timothy his true child in faith. So it's a wonderful thing that God does. He provides co-laborers, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can grow to love in the love of God and that we can serve together alongside. And that's what we see here with the Apostle Paul and Timothy. Now, I did want to make a note before moving on to the next point, because we do see Paul in verse 3. What does it say? It says, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. So he's now being brought onto this mission team, this group. And it says, he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Now, this is a very interesting thing, because if you just read it at face value, you might think, wait, wasn't the whole point of the Jerusalem Council and even the words that they're bringing to the Gentile Christians all about how it's only by grace through faith in Jesus that you are saved? So that message is not being contradicted. That message is still the same. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But what's happening here is something that we have to look at the context, right? So that's why I believe Luke, as he records this, he's letting us know the background of Timothy, right? His mother and grandmother are both believers, right? They're both Jewish believers, Jewish Christians. His mother was Eunice and grandmother was Lois, and both Jewish women who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. But we know that his father was not a believer and he was a Greek. So again, why is this important in terms of the ministry and co-laboring with Paul for the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's not saying that Timothy needed to be circumcised in order to be saved, but there was the context with which if Timothy wanted to be a part of the mission work of Paul and Silas to the Jews, then indeed, if they were going to go into synagogues to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus, as they did often, then Timothy would need to be circumcised so as not to create any hindrances or obstacles for the Jewish people there, even just to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Timothy agrees to this circumcision in order that he can co-labor with the Apostle Paul to share in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So just to kind of reiterate, Paul is not here going against the teaching that they have settled on in terms of the salvation that comes by grace through faith. In fact, it is lovingly leaving a possibility and opening to minister to the Jews in the place that they are. And we'll see in other times, like Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, that Titus, right, that Titus is someone where Paul speaks out against him being circumcised because there was great pressure being put on in a way where it seemed like what was trying to be taught is that he needed to be circumcised in order to be fully saved, right? So Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, but even Titus was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. So I just wanted to make that quick note about verse 3, because we had just spent all this time in the Jerusalem Council saying how important it is that it is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And that still remains the same gospel that is being taught. And so with that being said, what an awesome thing it is to co-labor with one another in Christ. Even right now, for this worship service, there's a lot of co-laboring going on, you know, with Aaron and the praise team and Linda on the slides and all the different people who are working together so that we can actually have this worship service, even amidst the circumstances that we have right now. And what an awesome thing to me that really, even in the midst of, you know, like pain and wanting to be there in person, I'm so very thankful for the co-laborers, the brothers and sisters in Christ that I get to serve next to and partner with here at CCC. And this is the joy of being part of the body of Christ. It's never meant to be something that we do alone. It's always something that we do together as a people, as a group. And our relationships to one another, they help us. They build us up. They encourage us to continue to walk in the Spirit, to continue to move in the Spirit, to continue to obey the Spirit. You know, and so I think about all the different parts of our church, the English ministry team that helps, you know, even in the background and in different ways to set up events and things for our congregation. I think about, you know, CCCYP, the fellowship for the young professionals. I think about LEAF, you know, a fellowship for the ladies in our congregation. I think about the married and family fellowship that we're going to start in the fall. I think about the retired, you know, fellowship that we're going to start in the fall. All these different means and ways that we can gather together and co-labor, find co-laborers that are going to help to keep us serving God, encouraging one another to trust in the Lord with all that we do. And so I hope and pray that that is what our church will continue to do and strive to do as we move in the Spirit. And look what happens when we do that. Verse 4, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So there's the teaching of the gospel. And then verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. You see what happens when God provides co-laborers, when he reminds us that we have the body of Christ, that we're not in it alone, and that we can work together with those around us, brothers and sisters in Christ, that he provides. What an awesome thing that we can strengthen the church, that we can increase in numbers by sharing the love of God. The second thing that I want to talk about today is that when we are moving in the Spirit, there is obedience and sensitivity to God's leading. Look what it says in verse 6. And they went through the, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So we aren't told exactly how the Holy Spirit made it clear to Paul and his group that they should not go to Asia to preach the word of God, but they were in tune with the Holy Spirit. We know for sure that they were relying on the Holy Spirit, his leading to go this way or that way. And so they obeyed God. And so the question is, did God not want those in Asia to hear the gospel and be saved? Of course not. How could not God not want more people to know who he is and to be saved by his grace? But I think sometimes what God asks us to do may not always make sense to us. But when we have conviction from the Holy Spirit, we must obey. And we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go to Asia later on in this very book of Acts. We also know that the same, you know, will happen in Bithynia, that God will send them and the mission work and the gospel of Jesus Christ there. But it was not God's timing right now. And how did they know that? Again, there's no step-by-step process that it points to exactly how they were able to discern this. But we can know that they were doing so in obedience with and for and to the Holy Spirit. So it was not God's timing. And this same Holy Spirit, we know, would guide them there later on in his timing. And so they're obeying God. They're having a sensitivity to the Spirit's leading. And we see actually that there's a plan. There's a reason that they aren't allowed to go here. They aren't allowed to go here because there is a place that God wants them to go in this time in history, in their walk as they follow and move in the Spirit. This is what it says in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, it says, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So we see that there is a plan that they didn't know from the onset when God was telling them, don't go here through the Holy Spirit, when he was saying, don't go here. But look, there was something to be done in Macedonia for the co-laborers to go together to serve his purpose and preach in Macedonia. So they got to this point because they were being obedient, because they were already being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So even in this vision, we see that Paul ultimately concludes that God had called them to preach in Macedonia. And so there is an aspect of discerning and wisdom that God gives of where you ought to move. And so he concludes that they ought to go to Macedonia to preach. And then it says immediately they make plans to go there. So what does it mean to obey God? What does it mean to move in the Spirit and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? There's a few things that I want to kind of mark out here because I've heard from people who love God, but you know, sometimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit and conviction, you know, some things that I think we need to learn to avoid, right? So what feeling the Holy Spirit or being guided by the Holy Spirit, it's not just feeling very strongly about something or having a really strong conviction. Sometimes I think we have very strong opinions, plans that we have already set in place. And then we kind of go to God and say, okay, come along, God, show me that this is the right way. Truly, this must be the Holy Spirit leading. But it's not just about you having already made a decision and then feeling strongly and then saying, okay, this must be the Holy Spirit. There is discernment that is necessary through prayer. And ultimately, one thing that I want to say is that you have to lean on the word of God. So Paul wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Bithynia. And the answer was no. There was discernment that led them to make this decision. We will not go there yet. And so the Holy Spirit is real. It's kind of mysterious a little bit because sometimes we're not sure, how does the Holy Spirit conviction work? Is it always a neon sign? Did, you know, God appear in the clouds, you know, through the Holy Spirit and say, no, you must not go to Asia right now, or you must not go to Bithynia. We're not told exactly that. But one of the things I want to say is that we have to be rooted in who God is and his character. And for us now, we have the Bible in full. Nothing added or taken away. The word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that is the Holy Spirit inspired word of God. Again, no errors, no contradictions. So what I want to say is this. Sometimes you may feel very strong conviction towards something. Please don't just go with that. Always test it according to the word of God, because the Holy Spirit, God, will never contradict himself. And so if the Bible is the very word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit, he will never lead you to contradict something in the Bible. Do you hear that? The Holy Spirit, no matter how much you feel something in your life or have strong desires and plans to do something, if those things contradict what the Bible teaches us, then that is not from the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to discern that. The truth is the truth. The entire word from Genesis to Revelation. I can't stress that enough. Now, I'm going to bring up some, you know, examples here. And, you know, some of them might seem controversial in today's day and age. But if someone is a woman, but feel strongly, so strongly, in fact, that they believe God wants them to actually be a man, it is not obedience to the Spirit or to God to then move and change your hormones and even your physical anatomy to do what you feel so strongly about. That is not something that God affirms. Man and woman, male and female, he created them. We can't contradict the word of God and say we're moving in the spirit. Another thing would be, you know, let's say that there's someone who is pregnant and they know that it may be a very difficult pregnancy, or even after the child is born, that it may be a very difficult life. Even though they may feel strongly that terminating the pregnancy might be the best way to go, it can never be something that the Holy Spirit leads you into, because the Word of God is sure about every life being made in the image of God and every life from conception being precious in the eyes of God. And so there's a big difference between feeling strongly and feeling conviction and something that is truly from the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to discern that. And one of the main ways that we can do that is by looking at the Word of God. And I've mentioned this also before. Nowadays, with people becoming married later on in life, even sex before marriage, living together before marriage, all these different things that become more logistically easier, but spiritually no good with what God has given to us in his word, things that he has outlined for us and how the co-laborers in Christ, the brothers and sisters in Christ, the people of God, and how they ought to live. And so I say again, what does it mean to obey God and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? It's knowing the word and following God and the Holy Spirit inspired scripture, but also being deeply in prayer and discerning. But I'm going to say it one more time. You can pray and pray and pray and feel and feel and feel conviction, but if it goes against something that God has given to us in his word, that is not from him. That is not the Holy Spirit leading. So in order to discern, we got to be in prayer. We got to be in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead us into sin. It will never lead us. He will never lead us to contradict the very Word of God that he has given to us. And so with that being said, you know, when we have choices in life, clearly if something is a sin and something is not, we choose the way to avoid sin and to go towards obedience in God. And yet at times too, there may be decisions that we make that aren't necessarily sin or not sin, moral or immoral, but we still have to learn to discern and trust in God as we move forward and take steps to glorify him, that he would always be the main purpose, main motivation for all the different things that you decide to do in your life, all the decisions that you make. So God gives us one another in the church to be side by side, to even keep one another accountable and to help one another to serve God and remember the purposes that we have in him. He gives us one another to encourage one another and to build up one another and to preach the gospel to each other, because I hope you never get tired of hearing the grace of Jesus Christ and what it means that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that we're forever in his love. This is such an awesome thing that we need reminders of. So join a fellowship group, continue to come out on Sundays, meet with church friends and people outside of the church, talk about life and faith and how those things mix in together. That is what we can continue to do to build each other up. And then take that same gospel to those who have not yet been saved by grace through faith in Jesus, that they too might know the awesome privilege and life that there is in moving with the Spirit. Be obedient to God. Have sensitivity to his leading. Pray. Be in the Word. Make time for that. Even this week, carve out 15 to 30 minutes to just pray and be in the Word so that you can be more in tune with his will for you. Do you have a difficult decision that you're trying to make right now? Are you, you know, maybe teetering on the line of what is sin and what is not? Go to God, bring those things before him, and ask that the Holy Spirit would lead you, not only through conviction, but through his word. And as we do that, let's be a church full of co-laborers for Christ who will encourage one another and bring many more people to faith in Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, God. Thank you, because you are so very good. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with awe of how good you are. Thank you for your presence with every believer through the Holy Spirit. May we not neglect the Holy Spirit. May we not live life apart, ignoring the Holy Spirit. But may we, as we grow in our faith, be more and more in tune with the movement of the Spirit. And may we become people who are spiritual eyes to see what you would have us do. And Lord, as we do that, I have no doubt that you will continue to grow us as a church and help us to be a force, a positive spiritual impact in DC and in the DMV area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.